Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective, with myself, Cynthia Sloan, and my very special guest, Ellen Sheffy. Today we have the divine opportunity, and I'm thrilled to have Ellen here because she has been working with healing and universal healing for 33 years. So you can imagine just the scope and volume, not only of what she's witnessed, but also of the information that she has to share. I am one who has had the honor to meet her and work with her, and I really respect her work. I think she's authentic, and her effect on people and their lives has just been ongoing for 33 years. Some of the ways to describe what she does, which is, I'm going to give you the limited version, and she can continue that list if she'd like, is licensed acupuncturist, massage therapist. She works with herbs, essential oils, reconnective healing, amongst many other sacred gifts. She's extremely creative as far as beyond just the healing arts, in the arts themselves, and really has a strong ability to communicate, I'd say, with all dimensions and beings in a very pure way. But today I wanted to let everyone know we will not be taking calls this show because I want to leave as much time as available for Ellen to not only speak on behalf of herself, but for her and I to have a conversation, which is very rare. We rarely get to talk because our schedules are so busy. But with that said, I'm going to allow Ellen to share with us anything you'd like and definitely add to that list. Ellen?
Thank you so much, Cynthia, for such a beautiful welcome. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think where I would like to begin today. I think I'd like to begin first with a little healing story of my own, how I got into all of this. I was told by my father when I was 17 that he would send me to college if I could tell him right then and there what I was planning on studying. And as we know, most 17-year-olds don't know exactly what they want to do. So he gave me a list of, these were up-and-coming professions for the 1970s. And he said, well, pick one. So I picked one, and it was nutrition because I like to eat. So I thought, okay, well, nutrition will be fine. So I told him I was going to study nutrition. I ended up going to the University of Michigan, and they had a nutrition program. And so I had a double major in biochemical nutrition, which is more for research.
Wow.
And for dietetic nutrition, which is to become a registered dietitian.
Mm.
So I went through those programs, and as you can well imagine, they were pretty, let's just say they were linear,
mm-hmm.
because I was really involved in biochemical aspects of nutrition, and so basically it was like being a biochemistry major.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left there and I became a dietitian at a hospital. I was living overseas and then eventually became a head dietitian of a hospital. But within all of this time, my own health, from being kind of a type A perfectionist, my own health started to fail me. And here I was working at a pretty prestigious hospital in Israel and had lots of doctors and nurses, et cetera, around me that I could speak with, and no one could figure out what was going on with me, and my health was decreasing and decreasing. So finally, my family there decided that I should go see a naturopathic doctor. At that point, I had no idea even what a naturopathic doctor was.
Mm.
But he was 86 years old, and he was trained in the old German methods, kind of the old hygienic methods, and used herbs and diet basically for his all his treatments, and was very conscious of what we call nature cure, of which means, you know, rest and make sure you have enough sun and fresh air and good food and exercise, etc. and from I had a, it was an immune disease, and unfortunate for me, I was just feeling worse and worse, and I started going to him, and within like 3 months, I was regaining my health, and within a year, I was back to a very vibrant self. So, of course, I'm very curious, and I wanted to find out, you know, what all this was about. So I asked if I could be apprenticed with him, and I would make a trip. It was a three-hour trip from where I was living to where he was practicing, and I'd do it every week. And I would just be a fly on the wall and watch him and observe. And it was pretty amazing, all the wonderful things I was learning. At the same time, I kept running into all kinds of herbal women and healers from all over the world. I was living in Israel, and so the populations from all over the world. And little by little, I started asking people I'd run into, or I'd be sitting next to them on a bus. They'd have handfuls of herbs, like, what do you do with these herbs? And then my next-door neighbor's brother-in-law had written a 5-volume herbal from herbs from the Bible. So I started studying all these things, and pretty soon I was involved in more of a natural way of healing and working still at a hospital, but now changing the diets of my patients at the hospital, bringing in fresh, you know, juices and actually juicing, making sure everything was really good food, nothing was boxed, it was all fresh. And that's how my healing journey began. So after doing many years of that and working in many different clinics, this is, I'm going to fast forward now.
Sure.
I came to the United States in 1985 to go to the naturopathic school. NCNM was the National College of Naturopathic Medicine. And there I started having a more formal training, but I had already been apprenticed to this elderly doctor, Perchold, for many years by that time, and had a pretty good vision of how to use herbs and what constitutes health. Anyhow, from NCNM, I also started a school called OCOM, which is the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine. And I actually decided that I fit more with the Oriental medicine principles, and it just became very second nature, natural to me. And that's what I got my degree in. And also, along the way, I went to massage school and got a degree in that, too, and a licensure in that. So that's kind of my background.
That's a very impressive background.
Well, thank you. So along the way, I started studying aromatherapy and even more so herbs. I was an herbalist for Eclectic, which is an herb company pretty well known in this area and actually throughout the United States. So myself and another man, we were making tinctures for the company, and we were I think there were about 102 tinctures that we were making. So I became very intimate with using herbs, and whether I used them in infusions, decoctions, or tinctures, I had that great opportunity. And from there, just things started blossoming.
Wow.
Cynthia, do you have any questions for me?
Well, I should give you a moment to breathe.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Absolutely. You know, before I give you more questions and not let you breathe, I want to talk about how I've known Ellen and worked with her, and we've been introduced in the same level of interests in different things. And I have not personally, on a conscious level, ever heard any of this. So it's fascinating to me, because the person Ellen already, to me, holds so much wisdom and knowledge. And to hear about your personal journey and how you've arrived there in the conscious knowing of what interests you is fascinating to me. And you have a lot of knowledge that I see and find not only comes from what you have gathered in your present conscious life, but definitely there's the ongoing presence and never-ending awareness for me that you're working with a large council of knowledge from past lives and also past lineages that are resurfacing in this life in such an important time on Earth to help bring in the combination of anything and everything to help the light resurface. So I'm fascinated by your journey. I know that you do a lot of acupuncture in your work as well. How do you find acupuncture to kind of hold the hand of the other aspects that you do, or do you find that it's taken its a primary place?
Well, because I am an acupuncturist, I do tend to use it as a primary therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the great experience of doing acupuncture in all kinds of settings, what I want to call boot camp right after acupuncture school. As I did start my own practice, but on the side I was doing acupuncture in all kinds of settings in the prison and in the jails and halfway houses and you name it. I was in all kinds of socially minded programs, diversion program for Multnomah County.
Wow.
I was the acupuncture director there and then doing private practice. So I spent 7 years doing acupuncture more in a social setting for the community,
mm-hmm.
which is really quite intriguing because you learn a lot and you see a lot in a very short period of time. And from there, I decided that I was going to work with people that really wanted my help and really wanted to get well. And so
mm-hmm.
acupuncture has been at the forefront. But basically when I, many years into it, because this is my going into my 21st year of doing acupuncture, what I do now is when the person is across from me and I'm working as a medical intuitive,
mm-hmm.
I basically ask that person's higher self or their soul level or what the I Ching would call the higher man
mm-hmm.
or woman in whatever case,
mm-hmm.
What is it that person needs for their healing? And it's like an ongoing communication. And so sometimes it is acupuncture, sometimes it's tuning forks, or maybe it's color, or maybe it's geometric shapes. It could be a plant, it could be, a flower essence, aromatherapy, homeopathy. There's just a myriad of things, or maybe they just need to sit quietly next to a stream, have better nutrition. So that's the way I operate now. I never really know what I'm going to do until the moment that I'm doing it. Sometimes, I might be doing like massage work or on the body or off the body energy work.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what's going on with the person and their grid system or what is known as the aura.
Mm. I so respect that ability because a lot of times people go to healers or individuals and they're offered just one modality, and that one modality, not to take away from it in any sense, but that one modality might just affect one layer or one source of what the problem is. Where I see what you're saying is you're able to communicate possibly with the imbalance or the issue and tune into and offer many different avenues, and sometimes probably all the avenues based on the person's ability to take that all in at once or have to come back for several times. But that's what I'm talking about for everyone that's participating, and we welcome your participation here and listening, is that Ellen has the ability to address an issue, one issue from all sides. It's like, again, another opportunity to experience wholeness by going to her, your own and also the wholeness that she has the capacity to offer you. And with that said, right now, I just want to take a moment and ask you to, what is the best way for people who are interested in reaching you to find you? If it's a website, if you can spell it out, or however you want them
okay.
to find you.
Well, really the best way of talking to me directly would be calling my office number at Lotus Acupuncture, and that number is 503-656-1956. Again, it's 503-656-1956. I do have a website,
mm-hmm.
and the website is lotusacupuncture.org. like in Oregon. So it's lotusacupuncture.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out more about me or how to get in contact with me, find out more about Oriental medicine in general on that website.
Thank you for that. Absolutely. Everyone who's even interested in contemplating or you're ready to take the next step towards your complete healing or your awakening, etc., do reach out to Ellen because you will most certainly not regret it on any level. I was wondering, Ellen, because you have been working in the healing arts for so long, have you noticed a pattern with humanity in regards to what negativity does to the body?
Well, absolutely. You know, what I'm going to say is basically the big stressor is stress.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's coming from, you know, interpersonal relationships, work, family, et cetera, from stresses, from, you know, poor diet,
mm-hmm.
poor practices, lack of exercise, electromagnetic stresses, you know, that's the number one problem. And, you know, our society right now, and being in America, is a very fast-paced society, and especially with computers and everything, you know, fax machines, everything's fast, 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 and, you know, be more productive. And unfortunately, it's not honoring the receptive, slower side. So if we're looking at the yin and yang, we're living in a very yang society, and the yin part, where, you know, you're receiving, you're sitting, you're just taking in nature, is not so honored or appreciated anymore. And I feel that that's one of the big problems, is that there is that imbalance happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely.
Right, and what I'm seeing then is there's a larger problem, and that is there are either rips, tears, or leakages in the auric field of people because maybe they've ingested some medicine or they've breathed in some kind of toxic material, or they're just, you know, worn themselves out, not sleeping enough, working too much. And so the aura starts breaking down, and that's really what I'm seeing, the basis of the dis-ease in the body. And so when the aura splits, or there's a leakage, or there's a weakness in it,
mm-hmm.
that area directly underneath that, so say I see something in the solar plexus, so then the digestion is affected. And if we're looking at the chakras, then we're looking, you know, at self-esteem, that third chakra area. So really when I'm looking at a person, maybe they're coming in for a sprained ankle, but if I'm seeing something bigger that's happening, it has to be fixed, then,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'll treat the sprained ankle, but let's look at the larger picture. It's like the idea of, you know, if a person's going to be having a heart attack soon,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, the sprained ankle is maybe not so important. It's like treat the bigger picture. So that's
right.
Why I'm always asking the body, it's like, okay, what's happening? What really has to happen here? What's the number one priority for a full healing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I start working.
That's amazing to me. And such a gift, really, because sometimes with other healers, a person comes in with a sprained ankle, and the sprained ankle is really what the healer addresses based upon the patient's or the client's interest. And so at times, there are practitioners that, and this is certainly not negative at all, it might be that they're aligned to that individual and that process, but that only address the ankle because that is all that they came in for, and if they don't get the ankle addressed, then the individual client might feel that they were not served by the light or served by, you know, the practitioner. So I think the beauty is that you're so open universally to looking at the wholeness again and the source of what's going on. What I have found with my clients and clientele that I see their light body is that the same thing, I agree with you, with the leakage and the tears, and oftentimes I'm seeing with individuals that are carrying cancer, and I think you and I touched on this briefly in the past, cancer or other things, that the body tries to fill that tear, fill that void, or fill that imbalance, and it does it by creating a mass, by. If you would, let's say you're gardening as an example, and you find that there's a big chasm or a hole, and so you just grab dirt from somewhere else, throw it into that hole to seal it up. And so, therefore, it's no longer there or it's not viewable. But what ends up happening, what I've seen, and I wonder if you could touch on this too through your bigger picture, is that I've seen the clogging, if you will, the clogging up at times or the filling in at times of matter that sometimes is not in a balanced way, but it has just filled up the space. And then it becomes a cellular structure without a signature. And sometimes it carries or takes on the signature of a cancer or a disease. And definitely, when doing so, that happens because of all the other things going on in the person's emotional body, like you said, stress, etc. But sometimes what the cellular body, the signature the cellular body creates or holds, is based on how the body is trying to. I find too that the body is always showing me that it's an instrument that is constantly and always trying to return to its natural strength and balance. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, okay, this is a really big topic, so you know we probably would need 2 hours for this, but we'll do the condensed version.
Oh, good, we'll have you back.
Okay. So let me just give you an overview. Really, mm-hmm. depending on the constitutional type of the person, mm-hmm. is how the body reacts to leakages mm-hmm. in the auric field. So say some people might have a musculoskeletal type constitution. So that is the system that's getting affected. So if you have, for an example, a hole in your aura around your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So what it might try and do is to protect itself. The muscles start spasming or cramping up or getting tighter, or it's trying to fill in that space by getting stronger using the physical body rather than the energetic body to hold the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that could happen. In the cases of cancer, what I came to light just, a few months ago, I was treating a woman who I've treated her and her whole family for many years, and she called one day and said, you know, can I come in right away, because I was just diagnosed with breast cancer. And I was really quite flabbergasted because her health is very good and she knows how to deal with stress, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure, come on in. So she had a cancer growing very aggressively right behind her nipple. And I said, well, I looked at it and I was communicating with her body, and her body said, yeah, you know, it was like a year and a half or 2 years earlier, something had happened to start this whole process. It was actually about a year and a half. And so she said, well, I just had a mammogram like a year ago and nothing had come up because it was still very small. So I looked back in her chart, and I saw that she had come in right at that time, and she was complaining of some musculoskeletal pain, probably between the fourth and sixth rib on her left side. Now, that's exactly where this growth was. And when I looked at her right away, I saw that there was a hole there, and I said, oh, my goodness. So when I looked back, you know, I noticed right away, well, at that time, it was feeling more like just a pain.
Mm-hmm.
And what the body was trying to do was to fill the space up. So it was whole. So the body was like, oh, okay, there's space here. There's a leakage. Let's try and, you know, clog it up. Let's proliferate the cells, which is what cancer is all about. So it started, her constitutional type was more like, okay, the body go into overdrive, cells go into overdrive by doing a proliferation process, hence the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends. Other people, for example, I was treating a young woman, and she had really severe morning sickness.
Mm.
She came in, and I was looking at her, and what I was seeing was that her whole abdomen, there was a big leakage there, and she was just feeling sick and didn't have any energy. And I just looked at her, and I was like, oh, my goodness. So I, together we filled up that space, and she was feeling so much better by the end of the treatment, and by a couple of days later, all of her morning sickness had gone away.
Oh, wow. That's
fabulous. And it was because there was a leakage in that area, and it was affecting, you know, her digestion.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so, you know, and I could go on and on stories. Mm-hmm. I'll just a really fast one. This is a fibromyalgia story that a patient of mine probably 20, 25 years earlier had taken a pretty severe fall and hurt her hip. And when she came in, I noticed that she had a big leakage in that area, and I had asked her about it, and she related the story to me. And then she was telling me, well, that's kind of when the fibromyalgia, all the pain and aches in her body started little by little, and her energy. Well, her energy from that point was leaking out, and basically all the symptoms of the fibromyalgia were just because, you know, no matter as much energy or as well she ate, as much as she put into her body, it would leak right back out.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, you know, starting to operate more and more in a deficit to all the point where she, you know, was really having tremendous problems dysfunctioning in her life. So as soon as we closed that up, her energy came right back. So it's really important to look at what's happening at the auric field.
Oh, my gosh. That is so wonderful. I hear you, and I feel the very strong presence of the information that is not only possibly old wisdom coming back to inform new information, but that is the new wave of healing and healers being able to, few and far between, but being able to not only recognize that, leaks, tears, and everything you've so eloquently shared, but also how when you take medicine or you eat or you do things, vitamins, supplements, and you're still not getting the effect or the desired effect that you want, then you need to seek out somebody like Ellen that can look at why. So if you're out there for years just trying several different things and nothing's working, then you want to think about or contemplate what Ellen said as a tool to not only, I think, seal it off and close it, but then to reverse what started happening. That's amazing. That's literally your gift here on this earth at this time, and anyone who gets to awaken themselves through dialoguing or contemplating what you're sharing with them, I just feel that in this lifetime we're connected with people, and that your awakening of knowledge and your sight and your ability to feel and communicate with the consciousness is also connected to several hundreds of souls, if not more, that signed up to have their awakening be through you would be the catalyst to that. And I think that that's beautiful and wonderful, and we're very, very lucky to have you on the earth. So don't go anywhere.
Okay, thank you very much. You know, it's very interesting because that really is the case. I am really in a fortunate position where I've been mentoring students now for 8 years. And usually they're students of naturopathy or of acupuncture or massage. And then I also have, you know, they've graduated and they've stayed with my little group that I mentor. And these are really wonderful healers that will be what I would, you know, consider the healers of tomorrow, and they're taking all this information and learning to work in a different way. Because when I'm looking at the body and I'm seeing a problem, you know, in many of the bodies, when I'm looking at the body, I'm looking at the physical form and the energetic body and the mental body and the spiritual body, the emotional body, the effects of the body from universal forces, the family body, the karmic body, and also the genetic body. So I'm looking at usually 9 different bodies when I'm talking to the person. And it's really a matter of finding out which of the body or bodies are affected and then how we actually start working within that. And what I'm seeing is the aura, you know, rips, tears, or leakages in the aura is one big stress. Lifestyle is another stress. And the third stress, which maybe most people don't consider, and that is stressors that are in the auric field that are not causing a leakage but are causing shall I say, a burden, or there are either cords or attachments, or there's some kind of signature imprinting on the auric field, and so the person is like carrying themselves around, but then they're carrying around this other, like imprinting or a signature of other people. So it could be a person, it could be a place, it could be an event, it could be a medicine. There's so many things that people carry. It could be a soul that has somehow intertwined itself in the auric field of a living person that's living on the earth. So there's lots of things. And so the idea is, at any time when I'm talking to the body, it's like, okay, what do we need to do to separate these other forces from the soul signature of that person, of just who that person is, who the person's meant to be on this planet? So it's kind of like the idea, you know, the more cars you add to a freight train, the slower the freight train's going to go. There's only X amount of power. And so as you start cutting the baggage carts off, and then the body can repair itself. And that's the beauty. I feel like I'm just the tour guide, you know, so people can get off the bus and come take a look, or they can sit on the bus and not pay any attention. I mean, it's not up to me. I'm there to show a person the view. And then, you know, whether they need to be an active part in the healing, because it's not about me. I don't do the healing. I'm just an intermediary or a catalyst to help them on their healing journey. And I think that's the number one thing, is that every person, you know, has to take the responsibility to do their own healing work. And that's really where it starts.
Absolutely. I totally agree, because you could give them all the knowledge that you're aware of, and then even more knowledge based on anything you're receiving at the time. But if they leave your sacred space and it stays there, or they discard it, then they're really not going to experience the quality of life that you offered them in changing that. And I think that I've witnessed myself too, that, you know, we can offer individuals, regardless of what capacity they're in our lives for, everything that we've got and more. And unless they're aligned with and choosing the same, let's say, fullness and expression of themselves in that fullness, there's really nothing we can do. In fact, many times in different relationships, one will find themselves completely emptied out of everything and kind of scratching their head thinking, well, that's all I had, and I don't have much more to offer. So for anyone who's listening and participating, and like Ellen said, and I'm in agreement with her, do your own healing work. If you've just left a job, but you have emotional ties to how it ended or while you were there, spend time throughout your day, not just a moment in the beginning of the day or once a week, cutting those ties energetically between the negative thoughts and thoughts of the past and emotions of the past. And then at the same time, reclaim your present moment thought. So when you get rid of one thought or projection upon you, or something that is nagging you, when you get rid of that, always I invite you, if it resonates, to put something in its place that does resonate with you, does empower you and inspire you. And if you don't have people around you, a lot of people suffer all over the world. I talk to people in my work as well, all over the world. A lot of people suffer because they feel alone or they're in loneliness. And what I have to share with those people, all of us in our humanity, is that you have an entourage and a family of spirit that surrounds you and that is there for you at all times. And if you communicate and you ask yourself to be assisted and give permission to receive, then you will feel the very thing that you're desiring to feel. And it won't be coming from a person. It'll be coming from within you and your connection to the divine part of you, and that you're connected to something much greater than what troubles you, and that is a source of fuel and a resource of fuel that can keep coming back and giving to you what you allow yourself to receive. So being human sometimes can be the triumph and the tragedy at the very same time, and also choosing the triumph and then sustaining it and believing that you can is also part of healing, I believe. Ellen?
Well, what I would like to talk about, because now you're entering into the realm of contract work, and I do a lot of contract work with my patients, and people either knowingly or unknowingly, consciously, unconsciously, make contracts throughout their lives. And it's really important that the contracts that you make are really what you want, that head you into the direction that you would like to go. And I just want to give you some extreme contracts that people have made. Many years ago, I had a woman who was a retirement age. She was 65, and she and her husband had just retired, and she was very ill, and it had been coming on, like, over the last, I don't know, year or two. Also, a type of a fibromyalgia. She was on lots of medications, and all the medications were interacting, and her health was going just further and further downhill. And at the time, you know, I'd gotten, you know, the information that she had made a contract. So I asked her about this contract. And she told me when she was a young woman, her son had very severe asthma. And he almost died of it when he was 12 years old. And at that time, he was in the hospital. And she made this contract with God. And she said, please, if you heal him, I'll be sick in his place.
Wow.
Now, that's a really strong contract.
Wow.
And now, fast forward, you know, she's sitting in my office. Her son was 45 years old, had been healthy, had not had asthma for a very long time. And I said, well, you know, look at your health now. And I said, would you be willing and are you able to rewrite your contract? And she was about 65 at the time, and she said, no. I will not rewrite it because I'm afraid that he'll get ill and die from asthma if I rewrite my contract now.
Wow.
And so she didn't take that opportunity, and consequently, oh, probably a year or two later, she died. It was basically from the contract and interaction of many of the medications that she was taking.
Wow.
So that's just one you know, extreme contract that a person has made. Another woman came in, and she came in because she had problems with breathing and asthma, and I asked her when it started, and she said, well, when my father was dying in the hospital, and the contract that she made at the time was during the death process, right before death, and sometimes it can last for several days, there's difficulty in breathing, there's a gasping for air. And it was very disturbing to her, and so she said, oh, if, you know, the contract she made was, you know, Father, you take my breath. And literally, it took her breath away.
Wow.
Yeah, luckily she was willing to rewrite that contract, and after that her asthma disappeared. So, it, you know, it's really quite intriguing about rewriting contracts, and the way that you were putting it, is exactly how you do it. It's kind of like a computer program. So if you have a glitch in a computer software program and it's not making your computer run well, then that's kind of like that contract that's not working out for you in your life. And you're like the hard drive of your computer. So what you actually have to do is you release. In other words, you get rid of, you do like a Norton utility scan on your computer. And I actually do this with my patients. I said, okay, now just pretend you're a computer and do Norton utility, and I want you to scan your body and go through your entire body and find those places that feel bogged down or places that aren't working or there's congestion or there's disease. And I want you to take Norton utility and run it through your whole system. And tell me when you're done. And when they're done, I said, okay, now I want you to trash it. You put all that program in the trash, and you empty the trash.
Wow.
And because this way people can really understand how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, okay, so now you have a beautiful, you know, computer. You have the hard drive, but it doesn't do anything because there's no software in it. So now we're going to insert the new software. And before we start the process, I have them exactly write the new contract of how they would like, you know, their life to run or what the new contract is on what levels. And we insert that by having them say it out loud anywhere between 3 to 10 times.
Wow.
And as they go through that process of saying it over and over, like different emotions come up, there's different
mm-hmm.
voices that actually come out of their body, you know, they get stronger, and usually the last couple times they read it, they're really coming into their power. And then that is embedded, that new contract is embedded, and then I do some energy work at the same time with it. So it's really an intriguing process, and it works quite well. And we can look at it for genetic programming, expressions of genes. Bruce Lipton, who's really well known for his book of Biology of Belief, says that basically the expression of the genes is only the genetic part is 30% and your environment is 70%. So you can very well rewrite the expression of your DNA.
Mm. Wow, that is all of that. I just am so inspired by your words and also what you have witnessed, because it's not something you're talking about in third party or necessarily saying you've read about it. I mean, here you are, somebody who's witnessing all this and participating in it, and it's so exciting to me because it is, I hate to say the new medicine because it's been around, it's old wisdom returning, but
mm-hmm.
and we can name it and rename it, you know, lifetime through lifetime, but it is having, I think, a huge impact. And I think as we approach the upcoming years, the impact will be even greater for people to address the situations in their life and in their body from a point of reference of, I do have access to, and I can, instead of, it's impossible, and I won't. So you're just definitely out there in a absolutely magnificent way, offering such, I would say, priceless information that would not only be present for those who you affect, but for generations to come, hopefully, for generations to come to be able to experience your teaching, like your students, who I've also had the complete honor, and my heart warms thinking of them because their light is so bright and they just want to serve, and they feel they can make a difference, and what better gifted way for them to begin than working with you. So that is all so exciting. I want, before the show comes to an end at this time, I want to remind people that we're talking to Ellen Sheffy, and if you wouldn't mind, Ellen, repeating how people can reach you, your phone number and your website.
Okay. I'm located in Oregon City, Oregon, and my telephone number of Lotus Acupuncture is 503-656-1956. Again, that is 503-656-1956. And my website is Lotus Acupuncture, O-R, like in Oregon. So lotusacupunctureor.com.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. This has been, it's flown by, but at the same time, I've been so completely immersed in every word you say, because your wealth of knowledge is so inviting and not threatening. It's, there's no ego involved in any way, shape, or form. It's almost an invitation for people to return to themselves in a way that involves miracles. I'm just going to use that word. It involves miracles instantaneously, and also maybe long-term, but nonetheless, it's such a clear point of reference working with you, from what I'm hearing and also from what I've witnessed, for people to make a choice and then to experience, you know, the outcome of that choice. So that is amazing. I also wanted to, on a different note, let people know that if you liked the show, definitely, I did, so I'll be writing to you, Ellen. If you like the show and I want to hear your feedback and your comments, I appreciate them, and I love interacting with everybody, and I thank all the consciousness that is here tonight and participating in the wholeness of it. Your presence is very felt, and it's in deep gratitude that you're here and that I have an opportunity to have special guests like Ellen and then to dialogue with them. But if you want to write about what topics or anything at all about this show or upcoming shows, it's a new website to write to, and it's spelled C-Y-N-S, that's C as in cat, Y-N-S as in Sally, and then the number's 999 at gmail, G as in grape, so gmail.com. So do write to that web or to that email address if you would like to share anything. And then my website is Cynthia Sloan, and Sloan is spelled S as in sun, L-O-N, no E or A, because I'm originally from Brazil. And they, in Brazil, they put a little hat over it, and which makes it Sloan. And then the number 9.com. And I still have two sessions or seminars, if you will, coming up, one next weekend on the 18th and then the following weekend on the 25th called Access Point. So do look into it. There's a lot more to be offered there, and I would welcome your presence. So Ellen, you have been a blessing to have on the show. I'm just wondering if you can share with people, if you feel like you want to, as somebody who has been in the healing world for 33 years and more, how do you, what would you suggest to individuals to unwind and disconnect from their hectic day or from if there's chaos around them?
Oh, that's a big one. For my own personal, you know, in my own personal life, I spend a lot of time. I spend at least 2 hours a day, you know, making sure my aura is clean and I'm balanced and I'm, you know, I'm balancing the yin and yang. I'm not doing too much and I'm, you know, taking in nature. So I think the biggest thing is just the intention. You know, mm-hmm. The minute that you put your intention out, and, you know, you can, if you don't have time, you can expand time. And this is like a whole nother topic. We have
Absolutely.
To have another evening of mm-hmm. how, maybe we'll do an evening of self-care and do several different exercises that people can do.
Absolutely.
I think that might be a better way of approaching it. And mm-hmm. And also I have stories to tell people about manifesting things. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to, everyone's heard of the movie The Secret, mm-hmm. I would like to tell some stories about manifestation and how that comes about. So, you know, basically when I'm looking at the at what a person does, you know, you have to put the time into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's your self-care or if you're going to manifest something, it's the time and your effort and it's showing the universe that it's just not a thought process, but you're taking into the next step. You know, by either saying it or writing it or doing, or it's really about, you know, putting all that effort into what you're doing. Show the universe that you're serious about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we could do a whole nother evening about self-care.
Great, and we will.
Great.
Actually, the next show for everyone to tune into, I think, is the 27th of July. And we'll be having Priscilla Hewlin back on. I'm very excited about that because she has tremendous energy that just being around her, I feel joyful. And so I'm excited about what she has to share. But then the following month in August, if and I'll talk with Ellen about this, if she's available, I would love to have you back for an August show to cover that and then some. Definitely.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. I'd be happy to come back.
You're welcome, absolutely. Did you want to let anyone know or let people know it, if you have anything up and coming at this time that they can attend or go to or participate in?
Actually, I don't. Right now, all my efforts are going towards my students where we have
okay.
classes. So,
well, we thank you for that because we need them in the world right now.
Yes. So thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been such a blessing, and I just think you're wonderful, and thank you for all your wonderful, kind words.
You're welcome. I think that this has been one of the best shows, and it has been very enlightening and thought-provoking for me. So thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. As always, we welcome your feedback and your participation. And so, at this time, we say goodbye and invite you to tune into the next show This is Cynthia Sloan, and as always, if it resonates, make it your own.